close your eyes for a moment, maybe, and just picture yourself at the very top. You're the one facing choices, history shaping choices, right? But you don't have perfect information. You've got fragments, conflicting advice, and just unimaginable pressure, that huge weight of responsibility. It's pretty daunting, yeah? Today, we're doing a deep dive into George W. Bush's memoir, Decision Points. And this isn't your standard autobiography, you know, A to Z. It's more of a journey through the biggest choices he faced, personally and as the 43rd president. So our mission today is really to try and step into his shoes. We'll look at the context, the intel he had, the advice he got, and, well, the personal convictions that guided him at these really key moments. We want to understand the why behind some of his most famous and, let's be honest, controversial actions. Think of it like a masterclass in leadership under extreme pressure. Okay, so let's unpack this. Before we even get to the White House, the book kicks off with a really personal decision, one he says was absolutely foundational.
Yeah, it's quite striking, actually. He talks about deciding to give up alcohol on his 40th birthday back in 1986. And he doesn't just frame it as, you know, a lifestyle change. He presents it as this major act of will, of faith, that gave him the discipline and clarity he felt he needed later on.
So he's explicitly linking this private struggle to his public life.
Exactly. He basically argues that this personal discipline was a prerequisite. It laid the groundwork, in his view, for handling the pressures of the presidency. It built the character he needed for those really tough times.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it? That our own sort of quiet personal battles or commitments can actually set the stage for bigger things later on. Makes you think about your own life.
Mm-hmm. Those personal turning points.
So this whole book, Decision Points, it feels like it's structured as one big answer to the question everyone asked, why did you do it?
Precisely. His core argument is that leadership, especially presidential leadership, isn't about knowing everything. It's about making incredibly hard calls under intense pressure, often with information that's incomplete, contradictory, changing by the minute sometimes.
And he really emphasizes being the decider. That single person getting all the inputs, hearing all sides, but ultimately carrying the responsibility alone.
Right. And zooming out a bit, he's not just recounting history here. He's trying to show the process of making a decision. He'd argue, I think, that you can debate the outcomes forever, especially with hindsight, but you have to judge the decision itself based on what was known or believed at that moment.
That specific decision point.
Exactly. The moment of creation, not just the result years later.
And a big part of that process for him was his Christian faith. He mentions it quite a bit.
Yes, he definitely highlights it as a source of strength, moral clarity. It influenced his thinking on things like stem cell research early on and later his big push on fighting AIDS in Africa through PEPFAR.
And also his belief in freedom. That seems central, too.
Absolutely. That core belief in the universal appeal of freedom, democracy, that was fundamental to his worldview and drove a lot of his foreign policy thinking.
Okay, so bearing that philosophy in mind, how did it play out in the really huge moments? Let's dive into some of those specific decision points. We have to start with 9/11, obviously.
No question. It's a seismic event. He gives this incredibly vivid minute-by-minute account. Starts in that Florida classroom.
Right, where he got the news about the second tower.
Yeah. And then the immediate decisions on Air Force One grounding all civilian planes nationwide, unprecedented.
And authorizing the military to shoot down hijacked planes if needed. Just,
yeah.
Wow.
Imagine making that call and then trying to craft the right words for a nation in shock. He makes it clear that day changed everything about his presidency. Instantly.
It shifted everything to national security.
Immediately. Which led straight to things like the Patriot Act. He defends it in the book as essential, you know, to connect the dots between agencies, prevent another attack.
Which was controversial, of course, as were the enhanced interrogation techniques.
Right. He addresses those two things, like waterboarding. He argues they were deemed legal at the time by the Justice Department and insists they yielded actionable intelligence that stopped plots. It's a defense rooted firmly in that post-9/11 fear and perceived necessity.
And that immediate war footing led directly to Afghanistan.
Yes. The logic, as he presents it, was pretty straightforward. Al-Qaeda did 9/11. The Taliban were harboring them, so both had to go.
The initial military part seemed relatively quick, removing the Taliban.
It was. But he does acknowledge the much tougher, longer struggle of nation building that came after. That turned out to be far more complex.
But the focus didn't stay just on Afghanistan, did it? Iraq came next.
Right. And this is obviously one of the most debated decisions. He spends a lot of time laying out the case for the 2003 invasion. The core of it was the perceived risk of Saddam Hussein having were developing weapons of mass destruction, WMDs, especially in that post-9/11 world.
He details the intelligence he was shown, Saddam's history of defying the UN.
And the general belief within the administration, and frankly many others at the time, that Saddam posed an intolerable threat.
But here's where he's quite candid, which stood out to me. He admits the WMD intelligence was flat out wrong.
He does. Calls it the biggest regret of his presidency. Mm. Very direct about that.
But importantly, he still defends the decision to remove Saddam.
Yes, he separates the flawed intelligence from the decision itself. He argues that, based on what they believed then, removing Saddam made the world safer. It's a justification rooted firmly in the context of 2002-2003.
Which leads us to the really difficult period in Iraq around 2006. Things looked grim.
Very grim. Violence was escalating. Calls for withdrawal were growing louder, even from respected figures. The Iraq Study Group recommended pulling back.
But he didn't take their advice.
No, he rejected it. Instead, he made another hugely controversial call, the surge, sending over 20,000 more troops in 2007 under General Petraeus.
A real double-down moment.
Absolutely. Against a lot of advice. But Bush credits that surge and Petraeus' strategy with stabilizing the situation, reducing the violence dramatically, and in his view, salvaging the mission.
Beyond the wars, there were major domestic issues too. Stem cells, for instance, early on.
Right, a classic ethical dilemma. The potential for medical breakthroughs versus deeply held moral concerns about using embryos.
How did he navigate that?
He describes weighing it all up and opting for a compromise, allowing federal funding, but only for existing stem cell lines. Trying to balance the competing values.
And then Hurricane Katrina in 2005. He doesn't shy away from that?
No, he's remarkably candid, actually. Calls the initial response a failure, admits it was too slow.
Does he explain why?
He attributes it largely to a massive breakdown in coordination, federal, state, local, everyone sort of pointing fingers. But he accepts ultimate responsibility for the federal government's part in that failure.
And the challenges didn't stop.
Yeah.
The end of his presidency saw the massive financial crisis of 2008.
Yeah, talk about ending with a bang. He describes getting these urgent, frankly terrifying warnings from Treasury Secretary Paulson and Fed Chair Bernanke. They were saying the whole global financial system was on the verge of collapse.
Which forced him into a decision completely against his free market instincts.
Totally. Authorizing the Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, a $700 billion bailout for banks. It was something he clearly deeply disliked doing.
There's that quote, isn't there?
Yes, it's very telling. He says, I had to abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
Wow. That really sums up the bind he felt he was in.
It really does. It shows that sometimes in a crisis, perceived necessity just overrides ideology. He felt he had to act, even if it went against his core beliefs, to prevent an even worse catastrophe.
So beyond these huge moments, the book paints a picture of his overall leadership style, his philosophy.
Definitely. You see the freedom agenda clearly, especially after 9/11. This idea that promoting democracy abroad, particularly in the Middle East, was key to long-term American security. It wasn't just idealism. He saw it as pragmatic.
And he talks about the weight of the office, too.
Oh, yeah. He conveys the immense burden, the isolation, making those calls to send troops into harm's way, the loneliness of being the ultimate decider when there are no easy answers. You get a real sense of the personal toll.
He also gives insights into the key players around him.
Yes. Brief sketches, but important ones. Cheney as experienced, influential on national security. Powell often voicing more caution, suggesting internal debates.
Condoleezza Rice seems crucial.
Very much so. A brilliant, trusted advisor, especially on foreign policy. He also highlights Tony Blair as a key ally, admires his conviction.
And Putin.
A fascinating arc there. Starts with some hope, ends with deep mistrust. And of course, General Petraeus is portrayed as the hero of the Iraq surge.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. What does this all mean for us, for you listening? What are the takeaways from these decision points?
Well, I think decision points offer some really practical insights beyond just the politics. First, there's the idea of having core principles as your guide, your North Star, when things get complicated. Bush argues that consistency, even if controversial, is vital.
Right. And the crises 9/11, Katrina, they're intense case studies in managing chaos. The need for calm, clear communication, coordination, or the consequences when that breaks down.
Definitely. And it really hammers home the reality of making huge decisions with imperfect information. You have to question assumptions, get diverse views, understand you might be wrong, but still have the guts to act. That's a tough balance.
Yeah, and the courage sometimes needed to stick with an unpopular decision if you believe it's right long term, the surge being a prime example of that.
Exactly. And maybe most importantly, his willingness to admit specific mistakes, WMD's Katrina response. It suggests that leadership credibility isn't about being perfect. It's about owning failures, learning, and explaining your thinking.
It kind of demystifies the presidency, doesn't it? Shows it's a person grappling with these massive choices under incredible stress.
It really does. It reminds you that these big historical events, which seem so clear looking back, were once just uncertain, foggy futures for the person actually in the chair, full of risk and ambiguity.
So as we wrap up, here's something to think about. How do we balance judging the outcomes, which we see clearly now, with understanding the incredibly difficult, pressured decision-making process that happened before those outcomes were known?
Yeah, that's the crux. Bush's book makes it crystal clear. His character, his principles, his worldview, that was the lens. That's how he saw the information, how he made the calls. Whether you agree with the decisions or not, understanding that perspective, that process, is pretty essential if you want to grasp why things happened the way they did.